ask you, Lord, to bless my mother, praying for me. Give to her your special blessing, staying on her knees. Mother's prayer can move a mountain and cause the blind to see. Cause I have had some mountains lately, these blind eyes were open for me. Thank you for the faith you gave her to lay me in your hands. It's only by your gracious mercy for you I can stand. Mother's prayer can move a mountain and cause the blind to see. I have had some mountains lately, these blind eyes were opened for me.
Encyclopedia Britannica reports that the traditional customs connected with Christmas have developed from several sources as a result of the coincidence of the celebration of the birth of Christ with the pagan agricultural and solar observations at midwinter. In the Roman world, the Saturnalia was a time of merrymaking and exchange of gifts. December 25th was also regarded as the birth date of the Iranian mystery god Mithra, the son of righteousness. Collier's Encyclopedia agrees by stating that, quote, after the triumph of Constantine, the church at Rome assigned December 25th as the date for the celebration of the feast, possibly about 320 AD or 353. The choice of December 25th was probably influenced by the fact that on this day, the Romans celebrated the Mithraic feast of the sun god Nautilus, Salus, and Victi. Both encyclopedias plainly reveal that the source of the celebration of December 25th is the birthday of Mithra, the pagan sun god. Sun worshippers since the time of Babel recognized this time of year in honor of their gods. First century believers taught personally by Christ did not celebrate his birth. Second century theologians condemned the thought. Only after severe persecution, destruction, and inaccessibility of Scripture and the blending of pagan doctrine with the worship of God was a Mithraic celebration of December 25th proclaimed to be Christian in nature. I'm Richard Reeves with Just the Facts. For more information, contact Partakers Publications, Post Office Box 23031, Charlotte, North Carolina 28227, or visit our website at www.toolong.com.
Everybody, welcome aboard. It's an honor to take you right now to Kansas, to the studios of Messiah's Branch. We're on with the prophecyhour.com. I'm talking about Pastor Dan and Linda Catlin. And would you like to open up your show in prayer tonight?
Sure, sure. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name we pray. Father, I just ask that you give us what you want us to talk about. Give us the answers that we need so that we can bless the people, Father. So in turn, that it will bless you, because everything is about blessing you. In Yeshua HaMashiach's name, bless this program tonight. Amen.
And amen.
Amen. And thank you all for working with me tonight. We were running a little bit late, and then during that song, I ran downstairs and gave instructions to a worker that's over here today. He's patching up some holes where we had some big critters hiding in. We had this huge monitor lizard. I thought it was a snake at first. Thank God it wasn't. I saw the legs, and it decided to wedge itself in a crack. And while he's here, he's patching up some holes, and I told him to pull up this little drain and make sure there's some netting down there, because I was in the bathroom sitting on the throne one day, and I saw a snake come up out of the vent.
You live in a wonderful place. I can give you a little experience on that. I was, probably 10 years ago, I was watching TV in our room.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
And now, mind you, the house that we bought it for back taxes, and so, you know, it's not the world's best, but we rose 4 children in it. But anyway, make a long story short, so I thought I heard something funny coming by. I thought it was the TV, and so I turned the TV either off or down, I don't remember. And there was this sound coming, and I went over there, and there was this baby possum right next to my TV. And I went and got a grabbed him and threw him, you know, down the street. I don't like killing them. My son, well, they don't have a problem doing it, but
I think that's when we was putting in a new floor.
I don't remember.
There's no foundation. It's just a crawl space, so, yeah, that makes sense. It came up to... Because we redid every floor in that house except for the dining room, so
they're
I think
scary.
It was when we redid the living room floor, and we were starting to do that bedroom floor, and that's where it was right by that dresser.
Yeah, and
sticking his head out. Boy, I'm ugh.
And I do, by the way, I have a picture of it someplace. I don't know where it's at, but anyway,
scary.
It's just something the world needed to know.
You see those teeth on them? Those are frightening, actually. Of course, depending on where you live, that might be dinner. My granddad told me the other day when he was in Trinidad, he was preaching. Afterwards, they treated him to a meal, and everybody was kind of helping themselves to dishes. And he comes up and says, "What is this? It looks like meat." And they said, "Brother Weber, this is called manicou." And he said, "Mana what? Manicou. In America, y'all call that possum." And
amen.
I don't remember if he ate it or he did, and he had to say, "Lord, bless his food." I got to get that detail, but I don't know. What do you think? Do you think it would be tasty or not?
I'd go hungry.
All depends on who cooked it, I guess. Here's the point, you know. If I don't have to eat that stuff, I'm not going to, you know. But there's parts of places in the United States, of course, that it is, you know, definitely on the menu. And so... I don't know. I'm not being judgmental over their food. I know I try to stick to a biblical diet, and I don't think he's on my biblical diet, you know.
Me too.
Moving.
I don't want to know if that tastes like chicken or not. I think I'll pass on manicou. Folks, welcome aboard. Brother, Sister Kevin, for those that are tuning in for the first time, tell us about your ministry and your show.
Okay. We'll start with the program first. The ministry, when we start talking about it, we'll get into something lengthy. But I did talk radio since 2002, which I started a very long time ago, and it's basically to support the Wichita Mission Church, and that's why people came on board and helped me pay the initial fees that it was to get on. Basically, the first thing that I do is I generally, for many, many years, mostly the programs that I do are book interviews, which means that an author writes a book and I read his book and decide if I want to have him on. And then, you know, I give a breakdown. We do a breakdown of the book or what's going on with it. And a lot of those guys that first started way off with me, people like Joel Richardson, Pastor Carl Gallups, who's now written like something like 9 books, and he's on radio and TV all over the place. He was brought up on my program about 2 weeks ago. He said, yeah, you know, I was the very first person that he ever did a radio interview with, and he never even did radio before. And so I've had progressive friendships with these people over a period of years since then. So if it's a best-selling book, probably pretty good chance that, and it's credible, you can probably bet that I probably interviewed the author. For about the last year, I kind of faded back from doing that a little bit, but now I'm jumping right back in and doing book interviews. In fact, last week I interviewed Joel Richardson. Now, his latest endeavor, after doing, he did many things like the Islamic Antichrist, the Mideast Beast, God's War on Terror, he's doing about the real Mount Sinai. Now, he wrote a book about that after a trip and a visit there with some of his other friends. And now that he has been planning back, I haven't had him on my program for like 8 months. But the reason for that is I thought this summer he was supposed to be over there and back at the real Mount Sinai in Saudi Arabia. And I figured he'd text me when he got back. Well, I kept looking at his site, Joel's Trumpet, and for whatever reason during the summer, and I can tell you that in a minute, he didn't update his site much. So I thought he was off in, you know, Saudi Arabia. But come to find out he wasn't. And he said, yeah, I went on the program. I got a bunch of stuff to talk about. Well, now, mind you, he's writing a big book about the end times and the significance of the mountain of, you know, Mount Sinai being in Saudi Arabia. There is some really big things going on about it. Now, so originally, you remember, you know, Ron, you heard about Ron White, right?
Oh, yes, sir. Great research on Mount Sinai.
Okay. Well, that's just one of the things that he found. But, yeah, so Ron White originally went in with his 2 sons. And got arrested. And actually, there was another guy that I don't want to mention his name on this program that was actually wanted to make the trip with him, but the timing wasn't right. So he actually turned in Ron, and he's a very well noted name right now. I won't shame him on TV, on radio. You know what I mean? I don't do that kind of thing. But point being is he was jealous of Ron and his sons going over there, so he notified the Saudis that that he was there at the mountain, and they were arrested for being CIA spies, and it took a few weeks to get them released. And doing some intent of why he was there. And so naturally, Ron lost all his photos and videos and, you know, all those such things that he took because Saudi Arabia wouldn't let him there. Afterwards, they built a fence around the real Mount Sinai and the site of, you know, Moses and where the people encamped, the golden calf altar. And that's the amazing thing about this site, you know, that where it's supposed to be at in another part of the world, you know, which is the Sinai Peninsula. There's no evidence whatsoever of the Mount Sinai being there, but where the real Mount Sinai there is, there's the mountain has darkened top, that there's an altar where there was a golden calf with, you know, hieroglyphics of Egyptian style golden calves carved in it, and all sorts of things. You know, all the
rock.
Yeah, the split rocks there. All the things that you would think that was associated with Moses that would be there is indeed there at this site. So Saudi Arabia put a fence around it and said nobody could get in. Well, Joel had basically, while they didn't sneak into the country, their purpose for being in the country, about what was that, Mom, about 2 years ago?
Oh, yeah, time goes too fast, though.
About 2 years, roughly. I got a tweet from Joel saying it was like, guess where I'm at? And
yeah,
he sent a little tiny bit of a picture that I caught it because I'm a buff on Mount Sinai. I said, I can't believe that's where he's at. And I got mad. I said, really? And so I texted him back and I said something not to be overly. He said, well, I can't really say where I'm at, but I'll talk when I get on the ground, right?
Yeah.
And so we did a radio program over it. And, you know, he did that to me a few times when he was, had been off to Turkey talking to people and things. But anyway, talking a lot here. We'll make a long story short. So he didn't sneak into the country, but he didn't let it be known why he was visiting the area of the real Mount Sinai, right? If that would have done, he could have been arrested. In fact, he got shot at one point. They were shot at by the Bedouins in the neighborhood who didn't like them being there. Okay.
Wow.
Coming up to date. So now Joel, we're talking the other day and catching up, and I said, well, you know, okay, so his book's been pushed back till probably the end of this year, first of next year, and it's going to set the prophecy world upside down because, you know, Joel's a great researcher, and he writes what the Bible says and talks about what the Bible says, and you can prove it. It will shock much of the Christian world and people. Okay. But, so back to Mount Sinai. So I said, well, you wasn't in Mount Sinai. I thought you were going over there to shoot some footage for the movie. Because the last time we talked, he said, yeah, they was planning on going back over there to shoot footage for a major motion picture about the real Mount Sinai. Okay. Well, he says, well, the Saudis postponed it. And I said, the Saudis postponed it? And he said, yeah. I said, so they know why you're there? He said, yeah. He said after he came back the last time, so now I do know it's 2 years, when he came back, he wrote a short book on Mount Sinai in Saudi Arabia. And when he did and he released some photos from it, he was contacted by the Saudis. They called him.
Wow.
And
what did they say?
Yeah. Oh, well, let's get to that. They said, okay, now, in this same area, we're going to jump to something else for a second. In this very same area, they're planning on building, this new Saudi prince is planning on building, and they're already building it. They're building resorts and the most modern city, something like out of the Jetsons, that the world has ever seen. And they've got the money to do it, right? I mean, you know, moving sidewalks, flying cars, robots, all of it. They want to make it bigger than Dubai, or whatever that country place is, and they want to make it an attraction for the world. But it's right next to the real Mount Sinai, and so there were some worries that will they destroy the real Mount Sinai because they've kept it hidden all these years. They've kept it hidden. They've known about it, but they've kept it hidden what really was. So. What they told him is they're the ones that want to make the major motion picture. They want Joel to do the major motion picture with them. He's going back in October to start shooting footage. And the Saudis want to open up Mount Sinai to the world, and they are going to welcome Christians in and everybody to come see it.
Brother, that's amazing because to get into the kingdom of Saudi Arabia in the past required a Saudi Arabian sponsor or an official invitation from the government. You couldn't just hop on a plane and go over there as a Gentile believer.
Yeah.
And so it was pretty much sealed up. And, of course, we know about some of the past that there was even a group that forged an invitation on letterhead and got into the country. And then filmed some of the area that you know that Ron White and his sons had been there to see previously, and I don't think they gave him any credit for it, which is sad. I won't mention the names either, but you know clearly Ron White was the first and major archaeological pioneer. But back to the story, you know it was almost sealed off. If you want to get in there, it was so hard. If they're going to open up the door, that is a miracle of God. And no doubt about it, that location is the real Mount Sinai because it's got everything the Word of God says would be there, and there's no question about it. It's not over there, the one that Constantine's mother, Catherine, christened, and that's why a lot of people don't believe the Word. They said, well, hey, if this is Sinai, where's all these other things? And so they believe the Bible's not true. No, they got the wrong location. It's Jabal al-Laws. Back to you.
Yeah, amen. The first pictures that really filtered out of Saudi Arabia were made by Penny and Jim Caldwell. Now I interviewed them on radio. They worked in Saudi Arabia. I don't know. I think it had something to do with oil or something. I don't really remember right at the moment. But they heard about Ron's work and they went over and they took a, you know, some pretty good pictures. And that's where most of our early pictures came out. After them, there were some other people that did sneak in and also take pictures. But you have to give credit to Jim and Penny Caldwell for bringing out the first pictures. And I interviewed them on radio. They're a wonderful couple.
Good people.
And, you know, what? Anyway, so now moving up from that. So now, remember, you're right. You could not get into the country or anything without a personal interpretation from the Saudis. But this is just like Joel Richardson. He gets these silly little things. Like one time he had this fellow call him, and he's from one of the biggest guys in Turkey and really wants to be the next Mahdi, which is basically the equivalent of, you know, the Islamic savior. And he invited Joel to come and visit him because, you know, he wanted him to do something about his book, The Islamic Antichrist. You know what I'm saying? And so Joel, now come on. Now you're going to tell me that somebody calls you up and says, I'm this big Arab sheikh guy here in Turkey, and I want you to come visit me, get on a plane and come over here. I'll pay for it all. And I'll pick you up at your motel and some, two black limousines pull up.
Wow.
And guys come in and escort him and off to this compound. Now, and then you know what Joel does when he gets there? He tells him he needs to get saved and believe in Christ. And, you know, and not that I wouldn't. You understand what I'm saying? This is the kind of person Joel Richardson is.
Yes.
And, you know, and I have the original interview that I did with him over that, and it was a pretty neat interview. And then after he got back, you want to hear the rest of that story,
yes.
After he gets back, he gets a call from the Sanhedrin, you know.
Wow.
You know, okay, you know what the Sanhedrin tell him? The same thing. They say, look, we want you to do what this Muslim guy says because we are trying to get with the Muslims in order to build a temple on the Temple Mount alongside of the mosque. And we're trying to work with them. And so you see what kind of thing that he exposed that the father used him for? And that's a fact. A few years ago, the Sanhedrin was trying to get a mosque built or get a temple built right up there with the mosque. And where'd it come from? Joel Richardson. Amen.
You know, he's a blessed man to have that kind of access. I saw some of the footage that was released a year ago, I think on his first trip, that he put up on YouTube, and I'm looking at drone footage. Never saw anybody get a drone in there before. He takes it up, and you're getting these aerial shots of Mount Sinai and the cave that Elijah stayed in when he was running from Jezebel, I think, was over there, and you know, the split rock of Horeb. Folks, this is a literal place. And until now, very difficult to get to. And there was another group, the Caldwells, did an awesome presentation on. There's also a guy, he was a Japanese doctor of one of the Crown Prince family, and he also had access over there for a number of years, and he brought out a lot of fragments. So, folks, it's a real place. You just haven't been able to get over there. But, I mean, isn't there places over there where there's actual footprints of some of the Israelites?
Yeah.
And God said, wherever you put your foot, is yours?
Okay. I'm going to change off that just a little bit because I'm going to tell you something else about the same, along the same thing. Okay, there's a fellow that's a friend of Joel's. See, when I arranged this last program with Joel's, like, there's this other, and all you got to do, folks, is Google the real Mount Sinai and finding the mountain of Moses. Finding the mountain of Moses, the real Mount Sinai in Saudi Arabia, or go over to our website at the pastor's page, it's there. There's a link to it. There's this fellow called Ryan Morrow, and he is a security analyst, and he has a research foundation called the Doubting Thomas Research Foundation. Now, this is a friend of Joel's. Now, he made a 25-minute video. He made a visit over there, and he made a 25-minute video of all of the sites over there and everything, explaining it. Now, you folks really need to go watch this video on YouTube. It's had, like, almost 2 million views. And when I talked to Joel, I said, hey, Joel, don't you know this guy, right? Didn't you guys go together? And he said, well, yeah, Ryan's going to go back with him and help out with the filming of this motion picture, right?
Wow.
But he said, the reason that Joel only released a few photos of Mount Sinai was there's probably like a handful, maybe 10 on his page. He said the reason that he didn't release more because his buddy Ryan was planning on doing this video. And so he told Ryan, go ahead and release your video first, and then my other book will come out afterwards, and then they're both going to help out with the Saudis to make this motion picture. So it's a 25-minute video, and you really got to go see it. And you know what, folks? If you want to tune in to Prophecy Hour at 7 p.m. Central tomorrow, you're going to hear me interview Ryan Morrow. I'm going to talk to him about the real Mount, Saudi Arabia. So these are the kind of things that, Prophecy Hour does.
You know, this is amazing. You all have been known for years for getting interviews that none others can. And, folks, if you haven't tuned into the Prophecy Hour, you need to. Amazing interviews going on over there. And by the way, just for those who are just joining us, when do you broadcast and how do they find your broadcast and listen in?
Okay, tell them, Mom, what time we do them.
We do a live program at 5 and 7 on Thursdays on American Voice Radio. And you can find all that information at prophecyhour.com.
Your voice is a little low today.
I'm probably tired.
From all that lawn mowing you did. You know, she got a riding lawnmower, and we have two-thirds of a block, you know. What do they call it, the mowing Nazi, you know.
I think it's 13 lots.
Yeah, well, it's an inch off the ground, and my son and I are saying, man, she said, it needs to be mowed.
Hey, and guess what? We was getting ate alive by mosquitoes, and ever since I took over the mowing, you can go outside and not get beat. Eat up.
Praise the Lord for that.
Eat up by mosquitoes.
Oh, man.
Anyway, folks, so she's working on it.
You got to tune in. They're doing a fantastic job on radio, and we'll talk about the mission here in a bit. But I want to say this is the most fascinating thing that I've ever looked into, Jabal al-Laws, the real Mount Sinai. Now, this leads us to the next thing we need to mention, and that is Israel as we know it today, the land of Israel, and the nation of Israel, where the people begin to come back to the land, and Israel was officially recognized once again after thousands of years, 1948, right? They're not in possession, the Israelites and Jewish people, of all the land that God promised them at this present time, are they? There's still other land that is being occupied by others that actually belongs to the Israelites. Would you agree?
Well, I totally agree. And the rest of these lands, a lot of people don't have the concept that when Yeshua returns, they think that he's, you know, everybody's going to fly off to heaven. And, you know, I'm just sorry to tell you folks, that's just not really what the Bible says. He's going to rule for 1,000 years on earth.
Yes.
And if you really look deep into the Bible, you know, that's when all the land will be restored. Some people say that the rest of it will be restored or given to them, before his return. I personally really don't think so, but I don't want to get into that debate with anybody. But and you're right. You started to say something about wherever they set their footsteps, you know, their feet, then that would be the promised land. You know what I'm saying? But anyway, I don't think that they will until then. But here's something that I'll tell you about. Okay, 1,000-year reign of Yeshua on earth. And this is part, here's a little bit about what's going to come out in Joel's book, and I already knew it. But when Yeshua returns, everybody says, okay, he's going to put his feet on the mount, on the Mount of Olives, right?
Right.
Right. That's
right.
What it's supposed to say. Well, wait a minute. He does say he's going to go to the Mount of Olives, but he's going to come up out of Sinai. And you know, if you really read the Bible, you will see this war that Yeshua wages against different peoples and deals out punishment. Just like in Revelation, it talks about his vesture being dripped. He's, you know, got blood all over him. Well, that's because of the vengeance that he is shelling out to certain peoples on the way towards Jerusalem. And he actually comes up out of Sinai. It also talks about in the end times how, now this is an end time thing. All this whole new thing with Saudi Arabia used to be enemies of Israel, but now they are befriending Israel, and they're trying, and they've got some pacts going on, and they want to bless Israel. And so it's the end time paradigm is completely changing into that paradigm. And so there's some fantastic things going on. So yeah, the land will be restored. That will be part of the land. But I think it'll be during Yeshua's return. And who knows, it could happen before him, but I really don't think so, because there's a lot of things that are supposed to go on before then. In fact, Yeshua comes, the whole real reason that Yeshua comes back is to save Israel from their brethren from being annihilated. And when he comes back, they will recognize him as who he is, and they will accept him. And then the word says that all Israel will be saved, which, by the way, if you are saved, you're a part of Israel. Back to you.
That's right. And I was looking for the verse. I can't find it at this moment, but it also, there's a prophecy about, you know, the people rest and they'll never, you know, be displaced from their land again. The fact is that even the area of Mount Sinai was given to the Jewish people. Their footprints are out there. Their graffiti is on the side of the mountains. You know, Gaza belongs to Israel. All these areas that are being occupied by others, okay, some peacefully and some not so peacefully, belongs to the Jewish people, if you want to go by the Word. And the Word of God will stand. Let the Word of God be true and every man be a liar, is what I was looking to say. But I agree with you. I don't think it's going to be at present that they're going to get it back. It'll be when the Messiah, Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, comes back, that he's going to restore it. And it's amazing, though, because, you know, it proves the Bible. When you begin to look at the route of the Exodus, going across the Gulf of Aqaba, and at one time there was a pillar that was erected on both sides of the land, from when they left in Egypt to the other side into the Sinai, that I think King Solomon had erected there to commemorate. And one of them is still there. The other one was cut down, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And there's pictures of that on the net someplace. But, yeah, absolutely. What's really amazing about that Red Sea crossing, now, you know, people try it when they talk about the other Sinai. They talk about them crossing this thing called the Sea of Reeds, you know, like they walk through the marsh or something. Well, wait a minute. If that was to happen, number one, they could say, well, yeah, the chariots, see, they get bogged down. Well, and these are religious guys that are saying it. They discount that it's a miracle. But the place where they crossed at, on both sides of the crossing, the water is just extremely deep. No way this could have happened. But there's a small land bridge that isn't as deep.
Yes.
That's right there where they crossed. And so the water would have been just like it did. It would have went up on both sides, and it would have reached up way, way up. You know what I'm saying? It's still deep, but just not thousands of feet deep, right? And they were able to cross. Everything about the real site that Ron Wyatt first pointed out, you know, is everything that should be there is there.
That's right.
But yet you still have scoffers, of course. Back to you.
There's an actual land bridge, folks. And when God parted the water, they walked on this land bridge. Now, if you go off the bridge, you'll fall down hundreds or maybe even 1,000 feet. I don't know how deep it is out there. I will say this, though. Not only did they cross there, but you got all the signs that the Bible says will be there on the way to Mount Sinai. You've got the bitter springs. You have an oasis out there. You've got all the monuments that they put down. Then you get over to the mountain, you've got the split rock. I heard that the Red Sea has some of the most diverse underwater fish in the world. In fact, I think they got some of the most varied shark species down there. So I will put it like this. Ron White out there, he discovered that underwater bridge. He even found some golden chariot wheels down there, but he was a brave guy. I don't think I would go past knee-deep with all those sharks out there, is my point.
Yeah, well,
are you a scuba
let's
diver?
Go with this. Ron's another one of the – he's like Joel Richardson. He's another one of these guys that are just so confirmed in their faith and doing what they do is, you know, that's the only way to explain those kind of folks, in my books anyway. But, yeah, it is so fantastic that everything is connected with that. And I encourage people to look up Ron Wyatt and look up some of his other works because those things are going to be coming out, too, you know, even to the location of the Ark of the Covenant, which I honestly believe that he found. And now Jews are admitting that it's in the same area, absolutely, that they know where it's at all along, that it's in the same area, and they're pointing to the same place that Rom was pointing to, the same general area. They're not saying exactly where, but it was hidden, and it's been there. And so, you know, that's why if you notice that when, if you look over the, and hear out of the people like the Temple Institute, the people, the Temple Mount faithful, the people that are planning on, you know, rebuilding the temple, you won't find them talking about having to dream up an Ark of the Covenant or what to do in place of it or anything, because they know they know where it's at. You understand what I'm saying?
Oh, yes.
It is there. Ron said, now let's go back to Ron for a minute. When I met Ron Wyatt, I wasn't doing radio or I'd have got an interview from him, but, when I met Ron Wyatt, he told me, he told everybody, but he said it on his presentations, that these things wouldn't really come out and gain credibility until the time of the end when it was time to confirm to the world that these things really happened. Well, oh, gee, all of a sudden we have the real Mount Sinai? Yeah, what do you think? Back to you.
No question about it. They located the real Mount Sinai, and kudos to Joel and his team for getting access over there and the work they're going to be doing with the Saudis. Man, this is a dream come true. I might even be able to see it myself at some point. I've always wanted to
go. Hey, I got something for you. Wait a minute. Hold it. Okay. This one's already booked. Now, he sent out a thing for 20 people that are going to go over there in October with him. If you had a passport and, you know, and the money to buy the tickets and everything, you could go with Joel and his group over there. Well, and that first one was sent out to just with personal people. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
But when he goes back in February, you can email him and talk to him. And if you've got a passport and the money for a plane ticket, you can go over there.
February
if you
next year.
To get a hold of him.
Really? Wow.
Really?
You know, I'm already halfway across the world, so that's just a little jaunt. 6 hours to Hong Kong. Saudi Arabia is not that far away. Man, I would love to see that. Also,
well, maybe I ought to email him.
Oh, man. That is amazing that they're opening up access to that. It's only going to get better if they continue to develop all the things that they want to do. There's a name for that area. I can't remember. Can you remember what they're going to call that?
There was you mean the city?
Yes,
the
sir.
New city?
It's a new city.
Nebo or something like
that. Yeah.
I can't say.
Sounds
I think
about
it's
right.
Nebo, but don't quote me on it because I don't. I'll Google it.
Folks, can you
imagine
city, I guess. Seeing with your eyes the mountain of God? Now, the top of the mountain is black in contrast to the rest, and that's where the fire of God came down.
That is Neom. N-E-O-M.
N-E-O-M. Neom.
Neom.
N-E-O-M.
N-E-O-M, yeah, just like you said.
Neom. Instead of neon, it's Neom.
You know, as I read the account of the Exodus in the Bible, there was a time where God would tell people to prepare themselves, and he was going to come and visit them, and he would actually talk to the people. And it was such a frightening experience. I think trees blew apart. Cattle would birth their calves. And the people were afraid. And they said, you know, hey, Moses, tell God to speak to you and then you speak to us. But That may have been the case, but you know what? I would like to take my chance and hear the voice of the Lord like that. You know, that's the only thing that I have a bone to pick with the Lord one day is, Lord, why don't you give us another chance here and talk audibly like you used to? Now, I know people hear the voice of the Holy Spirit that, you know, and God speaks to people, and maybe he does still speak to some audibly. I haven't heard him audibly. I heard him in a dream one time, though.
Amen.
I can't tell you what it sounded like, but I just heard the voice of the Lord. I remember what he said. You and your brother Damon have a generational curse you need to break. The Lord told me that. And 2 days later, my brother calls me and says, man, I got this book for you to read. It's by Derek Prince called The Blessing and the Curse. And I had asked the Lord, I said, what's wrong with me and my family? And it was a curse. We needed a break in Jesus' name. But I haven't heard him audibly. I sure would like to. I wish he would speak to us today like he did then. That's the only thing I have to regret, you know?
Well, amen. A little bit about that. But for the record, yeah, that's in the Bible. And that is why we don't speak with the Father, is because the people said, no, you know, it scared them to death. He did speak to them. They did hear his voice.
Yes.
And it was too spooky for them. And so that's why they're. But
you do it, Moses.
Well, right, but see, Moses was also a type cat. He's a type, a shadow of Yeshua. He became the intermediator for the people, and that's Yeshua became the intermediator.
And how many times did he save the people?
Oh, over and over. Don't kill him, Lord. Don't kill him, Father. Don't kill him. And the Father says, get out of the way, Moses. I'll make you a whole new group of people, but these guys are going.
Calm down. You know what you're doing. Calm down. Don't do that.
Yeah. You know, remember, your word said you'd do this, and that's how he reasoned it got with him, is he reminded the Father of his own word, what he was going to do for the people and with the people. And so then the Father forgave them to a point. You know.
Now,
anyway,
he said, okay, then you go tell him, Moses.
Yeah.
He also had
and he said,
they're yours. You can have them, Moses.
Yeah. And by the way, they're down there worshiping a calf. You know.
Oh, boy. Time to go drink some silver.
Speaking of the calf,
golden.
I read this, and I don't know if it's true or not, but it may be. That, of course, when the children of Israel were over there, they brought their gold with them, right? You know, Egypt basically said, here, you can borrow all of our jewelry, and they took it. They plundered Egypt. They didn't come back.
Right.
But, you know, they hadn't been paid their wages either for 400 years. You know, they were slaves over there, so they got their pay. Point is many of them took it with them to the mountain, and, of course, some of that was used to make the golden calf. And I know when Aaron breaks up the golden calf, smashes it, poured it in the water, people had to drink the water with the gold. But to the point I want to make, I heard that when people died over there, they would be buried sometimes with their gold. And so there's got to be all kinds of buried gold. So there was one dude who had went over there with a metal detector, and he got some readings and was digging. And apparently the government found out about it, and they banned anybody from taking a metal detector there. And when someone was out there the next time, the area where they had found gold, somebody had went in there with a backhoe and apparently had found a large amount of gold. Did you ever hear that story?
No, but I will tell you this, that in fact, Joel brought it up in talking, that if you go to the area and you're caught poking around over there, they assume the reason that you're going over there is for searching for gold.
Wow, there you
and,
go.
That's what the Saudi government, you know, currently believes. But I will say, yeah, and they did bring out the gold. The Egyptians, they were so after the plagues and, you know, the last, you know, the children dying and everything, they said to them, take what you want, you know, just leave, get away. You know, they didn't want any part of it. And so, but, you know, in hindsight, that gold was also used for making things like the Ark of the Covenant.
That's true. I mean, it wasn't all used for the wrong purpose. Because you're right. The word was put out, you know, let all those that will come over and donate so we can build the Ark of the Lord. And it takes gold to do that. People had great wealth when they came out of there. We're live with Pastor Dan and Linda Catlin of the Prophecy Hour tonight, and while we're talking about Israel, I just wanted to throw something else in there. Have you seen the prophecy yet that came from Brother Bob through Al Cuppet?
Bob who?
Have you heard of Prophet Bob? He's been a friend of Brother Al Cuppet for many years, and he's been quoted from, he's a servant of the Lord, goes by the name of Prophet Bob. Does that ring a bell?
No, that's one that slipped by me. He must not be, out there, with a lot of the other mainstream
guys. No, he's not mainstream. No, he's like a guy in the back of the desert, eating locusts with a camel hair suit.
No, I hadn't heard of him. Does he have a website or any way to look stuff up?
No, he's a bit of a recluse. He won't do radio shows, and I've invited him on for years. He won't come on, but he does talk to his friend who he can trust, which is Al Cuppet. Now, the guy has been very accurate, and I believe that he's a man of God who God speaks to. I just was curious if you'd run into Prophet Bob through Al Cuppet.
No.
But you know Al Cuppet.
No, I haven't. And I do know Al Cuppet. I've had Al on my program many years ago. I don't remember the last time, but I've had him on my program before, but it's been a few years since I had. I haven't heard from him in a number of years. So
he's still doing good work. He's about 80 now. He does a show once a week and gives a report. I want to read something to you and Sister Linda that came through Al Cuppet the other day. Now, this was set on August 25th, so 4 days ago, right? And the Word of God came to Brother Bob, and this is what the Lord said to him. Now, y'all can judge for yourselves. It says, the next 90 to 120 days are critical for Israel's survival. Gather the global prayer partners and teams. Hell's agendas are about to be made known on a worldwide basis against El Shaddai's chosen and beloved homeland of Israel and Jacob's posterity. This rift will coalesce those who are for or against Israel's very existence. The earth is about to be, quote, rocked to earth's molten core by and because of the hatred against Israel and the Jewish people. In direct contrast, those against Israel will experience, and this is a warning for those that are anti-Israel and Jewish, they're going to experience severe droughts, uncontrollable wildfires. Now, I heard that Brazil has got massive unchecked wildfires over there. And they've had them over in Russia, too, over in Siberia. Interesting, huh? Heretofore unknown and unimaginable storms that will reduce said nations and people to something of a Stone Age existence. There'll be natural plagues poured out, locusts, biting flies, an elevated proliferation of poisonous snakes and wildlife gone wild. And number five, the international communities will be so involved with their own problems and responsibilities that they will be rendered incapable of meeting and addressing other countries' needs. Yet El Shaddai's covenant to Israel and the Jewish people will so proliferate beyond any heretofore protective and outpouring of blessings from heaven that it will definitely demonstrate that God is God and He has an undying love for Israel and the Jewish people. And that was the end of the word. I'm shocked, Brother Dan and Sister Linda, at the number of people out there that call themselves Christians, those that are in patriot community, some internet radio that you and I know, I won't mention their names, and others out there that got an ear on YouTube of many people, that they're blaming all the world's woes on a, quote, world Zionist conspiracy. And they use the word Zionist as a dirty word. And they're blaming everything on the Jewish people. And you mentioned Mount Olives, but I will bring to mention people need to do a word study on Mount Zion. Mount Zion is where Jesus is going to rule and reign from. That's God's mountain. Zion is not a dirty word. And if you support Israel, you are a Zionist. I'm a Zionist. I support Israel and its right to all the land that God promised them that they don't have now. There's many people occupying their land. People say Israel is the occupied territories. No, they own that land given by God. Nobody, even the U.S. government, has a right to get in there and divide it up and give it to the Palestinians, who were never historic people. And they're allowed to live over there and work and even have Israeli citizenship as long as they behave themselves. But you've got groups over there, including just about every one of Israel's neighbors, who are dead set on dividing the land you know, ready to launch rockets. Rockets actually being launched daily, and yet Israel doesn't strike back, except more than, you know, just to send a signal. But if someone launched a rocket like they're launching Israel daily against America, that would be an act of war. Yet people want Israel to be reserved. Now, at some point in time, they're going to have to fight back. The other day they did, and I think they hit three locations simultaneously, hit Syria and a couple other locations and sent a warning to Iran. But on top of all those that surround them, that little piece of land over there, which is Israel, not even all that God promised them do they have today. Most of it is occupied by other countries. And they've got that to worry about. We've got Americans out there, and especially those in the church is what I'm talking about. Some of you tuning in who would dare stand against Israel in this time. This warning is for you. Because if you use the word Zion in a derogatory fashion, as many are, the Zion is this, the Zion is that, you've got a spirit of Adolf Hitler in you. Maybe you don't even know it. Because I confront people about this all the time, Brother and Sister Catlin. I say, do you stand with Israel and the Jewish people and its right to all the land that God gave them? And they always come back, well, what about the Palestinians this, Palestinians that? What about them? That's not their land. Do you stand with God's people? If you are against the Jewish people, then you're not going to be there with us in the new millennial reign of Jesus Christ when he comes back and rules and reigns. He's the Jewish Messiah. And we're not to boast against the branches. And if you're not for Israel in this time, then what you are is you're over there on the side of Goliath and the Philistines. And it didn't go well for them. And this is a warning. And I sent this out to everybody on my mailing list. I got about 1,000 people, that's all, that have subscribed for emails. Did you know I only got 3 people to write me back? Actually, 4. One didn't like my comment. 3 said, I am in support of what you said, because I went on to say that I have said it before and I'll say it again, warning to all those who are going around attacking the Jewish people in Israel and who blame the world's woes on a world Zionist conspiracy and use the word Zionist in a derogatory fashion. I said, Jehovah God is a Zionist. Jesus Christ is a Jewish Messiah. And by believing on Jesus Christ, we're saved and grafted in with the natural branches, but in no way replace Israel. People think, well, God doesn't mean what he said over there and we are Israel. No, folks. God has a literal people, the apple of his eye, the Jewish people, and the tribes of Israel. He made a promise with. He's going to keep it. God's going to keep his promises to the Jewish people in the land of Israel. And anyone who stands against Israel in this time will come under the judgments of God, as it is no one's right to take away from Israel what God gave to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And I said, anyone who attempts to take away the land from Israel and the Jewish people, give it to the Palestinians or anyone else, will incur the wrath of God. You're not blessed when you're attacking Israel, folks. Jerusalem is God's eternal capital of Israel. If you want to be blessed, you need to be blessing God's people and Israel, where Jesus Christ is coming back to rule and reign from Mount Zion. And I went on to say, you know, we stand with Israel and the Jewish people here at Omega Man Radio, as I know you and Sister Linda do and have for many years at Prophecy Hour. And, you know, Genesis 12:3 is as much active today as when God spoke it and Moses recorded it. I will bless them that bless you and I'll curse them that curse you.
Yep.
And in
the words given to Abraham,
all families of the earth be blessed. Folks, if you're tuning into programs like that that are attacking Israel, there's one that almost every day or a couple times a week, it's Zion this, the Jewish people this. They literally, they're anti-Semitic. They got the spirit of Adolf Hitler in them. He's in hell tonight. That's where you're headed if you don't stop this and stop attacking the Jewish people. And you know, brother, I support our president. I'll vote for him again. And I support what he did, that he stood up for Israel. But even I tweeted him the other day. I don't expect that he read it, but, you know, hey, what the heck, I'll try. I said, President Trump, we love you and support you, but whatever you do, don't divide the land of Israel. Now, someone's going to do it. And I don't know if it's going to be Kushner or if it's going to be someone down the road, but woe be it unto those that go in there to divide the land of Israel. And woe be unto you tuning in tonight. If you stand against Israel in this time, God is standing against you if you do that. You don't have to like everybody in government over there. I know they've had gay parades. I don't support that. But you don't throw a whole country on the bus because of a couple bad apples.
But let me butt in.
Back to you.
Okay. First off, what you just, the last thing that you said about the gay parades or whatever like this. First, let me say something about this, about Israel. Number one, the city of bringing the people back from the nations. You bring it back because of his name was upon them. Talking about because of him. Bring them back from the nations. He didn't say he was going to save them and make them perfect people first. He said he would bring the people back.
Yes.
What I said a while ago earlier is that when Yeshua returns, that's when they will finally end as the whole nation accept Yeshua as a Savior. Until then, just as the rest of the world, nobody's going to be perfect. Okay,
sure.
Yeah. And the words that you gave, you said, I'll bless them that bless you and curse them that curse you. Those was the promise. That's part of the Abrahamic covenant. That is the covenant of grace that allows everybody to be grafted in if they believe in Abraham's seed, which is Yeshua. That is the covenant of grace that has never been done away with. That is
Amen.
The one covenant that gets us all in. Romans 11. That tells us, Paul tells us about the olive tree and the branches, like what you were talking about for the people. I want to backtrack a little bit further, though. You were talking, this friend of mine that I've had on radio a bunch of times, his name's Michael Snyder. He put out a report, I'm pretty sure it came out today. You may have seen it on the internet. And Michael has a picture on his page, and it shows where all the wildfires are, forest fires around the world. A huge portion of South Africa is on fire.
Wow.
And the same way, if you look in South America, it looks like the whole middle portion of South America is on fire, and also fires raging clear up and even into the United States. It also shows a huge number over in Russia. And so there is a lot of fires going on worldwide. Now, addressing the other thing that you said, the prophecy that this man or the word that he got is, yes, we should always be in, we are ordered by the word of the Father to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That is praying for Yeshua's return, because there's never going to be any real peace until he does indeed return. Whether or not something, as you describe, happens within the next, 120 days, 90 to 120 days, I don't know. I will say this. And one other thing. We're talking about that. You know, there is some things going on that, like Hamas threatened to attack Israel from the south if Hezbollah will start in the north. And I know that Iran's backing them both up. But Egypt said no, no way, because Hezbollah is in Egypt. And Egypt says, we're not going to let you do that. So Egypt has interceded. These nations that are surrounding Israel are getting ready for the end time battle. But there's certain Bible prophecies concerning Israel that were not at that point. When we get at that point of that tipping cup, then look out, because in America is going to have to be taken out of the way in order for the world to attack them. And taken out of the way can only happen in one of two ways.
That's right.
It would either be destroyed, or that we'd have another leader that would be like Obama that would not allow, that would turn us away from Israel and not support Israel militarily, and then those nations would know it. They are every day gearing up towards that. Iran's being the biggest, Persia being the biggest culprit of this. And you can find the nation lineup in Ezekiel 38 and 39. You can find the nations that will come together to attack Israel for that battle. Anyway, but I just try to cover a few of the things.
Brother, very important what you brought out there. And, I've seen the Iron Dome system. It's amazing what they're able to do, and they're able to take down many rockets. What has been put forth, though, is what do you do when they launch thousands? And literally there's 100,000 or more missiles and new ones being tested all the time that can do you some serious hurt and could even overwhelm your Iron Dome system without God stepping in. Israel is surrounded by enemies. Folks, you don't want to be joining those enemies. Those tuning in tonight, you know what? I have made a decision, Brother Dan and Sister Linda. I'm going to stand unconditionally with Israel. And you know what? If there's people in government and there's bad apples everywhere in every government, just because we got some bad apples in America, we're going to throw all Americans under the bus? You know? No. God will deal with people and individuals. He can weed them out. But he'll weed you and I out too, folks, if we stand against Israel in this time. That's our brothers and sisters. Let's get down to the nitty-gritty. We've been grafted in. If you're a Gentile, you're not Jewish, you've been grafted in as a believer in Messiah, Jesus Christ. We're not to boast against the branches. There's a warning about doing that. You know what? We're going to be spending eternity with our Jewish brethren that find Jesus Christ as the Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach. You don't want to stand with your brothers and sisters in this time when just about every nation in the UN voted against them. I think there was maybe four or five that stood on the side of Israel time after time. Look at all the nations that were against them. You want to be with those nations, folks, when God judges them? And God can pour out individual judgment on your head. It's a terrible thing to fall in the hands of the living God. And if you curse his people, you got a literal curse on your head. I won't give you 2 cents for your life. You know what? Repent. Another thing, don't defy yourself by continuing to tune in to this anti-Semitic propaganda, because that's what it is. I don't know what possessed those people other than demons to get them up on their bandwagons and attack the apple of God's eye. I mean, it's horrible. We should stand with Israel unconditionally. And you know what? Israel's got to look out for Israel, just like America would look out for America. And if I were Russia, I would want Putin as my president. I think he's the right president for the Russian people. It doesn't mean that I like him as an American because his interests are to Russia. And you know what?
Hey, we need to have this guy arrested. He's a conspirator with Putin. He must love. That's what the left say every time.
Are you
somebody
colluding
says,
with Russia?
Oh, yeah,
I am.
Yeah,
I am colluding.
Yeah. Hey, man, get him up there. Somebody get him. He's paying for your airtime now, right? Okay.
Let me tell you something.
Yeah, he must be.
You don't know the extent of it.
He's a Putin guy. Well, you know what? Listen, the Russian people believe that Putin is, okay, number one, most people don't even know that most Russians are actually Orthodox. You know, they're Christian Orthodox. And they actually believe they believe in the end times just like we do, but they're going to fight against the Antichrist, and it's not, it has anything to do with them or things, and, you know, America's on that agenda. And realistically, they point out all the time about all the corruptness in America, and they're right.
Yes.
You know, they point to all those things because really they have the same, not exactly the same faith, but you understand what I'm saying. And they believe that their leaders are ordained from God, and they believe that Putin is ordained from God. And for the most part, the people love him to death. And because the church recognizes him in over there, and that was just a little tidbit for you. But for the American listeners, though, I want to say this real quick, please.
Yes.
For the American listeners, now we have Trump came in, and most of the reason that Trump is here is for two reasons. Number one, it's an answer to the people's prayers, where we cried out during the Obama years and even before that, we needed a righteous leader to bring this country out of where it was headed, and prayed for more time. They gave us President Trump. But when Trump came, there was something else that came along with him, and I call it the revealing. And this revealing is the true spirit of the people in America and even across the world.
Yes.
But I judge from America. And, yeah, I use the word judge because we are supposed to judge righteously. We are supposed to judge, not anyway. But let's move on. So if you look out at all of these things that they're screaming, they're ruining children's lives by, it's the parents, not the children, that are making these little children turn, want to be, instead of a boy and being a girl and castrating him and doing all these horrific things. And saying that these things like, you know, gay and lesbian, all of these things that are saying are normal and persecute you. In fact, even the House, because we didn't get out. We thought all we had to do was get Trump in, right? Well, you folks fell down at the last election and you let the House of Representatives fall.
That's right.
To the Democrats. And
I
think
it was rigged.
It wasn't rigged. It was the people didn't get out and vote. That is the point. It did not get out and vote. And so more illegals voted and upset the apple cart. It doesn't matter. The vote is what matters. If it wasn't the vote that matters, President Trump would not be in there. He outdid him. It is the vote. Let me finish. I'm on kind of a small rant here. Anyway, but here is my point. The revealing happened, and you see all the evilness that these people are spewing forward, that are spewing forward. If we lose President Trump or if we lose the Senate, these things are going to be the normal. They put forward this thing called the Equality Act that was passed in the House of Representatives. And this Equality Act is to give, is an amendment to another act, which was an Equal Rights Act, but it was to people of straight of gender, like real man, real woman, so on and so forth. But if this new one comes in and we lose the Senate and lose the presidency, this will come in immediately, and you will be arrested if you say anything against these people. You will have no religious right to say, well, I want to exempt myself or my business from hiring somebody like that, or make a cake or serve a hamburger at a wedding or whatever. You will, Christianity, it is, will come to being just like it is in China and every place else. That is their goal. And they've revealed it. They speak it straightforward. They're a pack of liars. They lie every day. 90% of the news media is leftist, and it just means a pack of liars. These people reveal themselves in their true spirits, and these people will take over. So if we want to have another 4 years of a little peace in America, you folks had better pray, and I don't care whether you like the Republicans or not, you better vote Republican across the board.
Amen.
Or you're going to be in trouble. This nation will fall as you know it, and it may happen. If that happens, then that means we'll go immediately against Israel, and that means we will be at that time that I was talking about. So there is a time clock that's going on here. And so we need, and what do you need to do? You need to do your duty. We were called to preach the gospel. We were called to stand up for what was right, not say, oh, don't be judgmental and say that I can't have sex out of wedlock. Are you kidding me? You folks, you need to read your Bible, and what your Bible says is called fornication. You understand that? You're not supposed to have sex till it's your partner. And if you have, you need to repent of it, and then one partner for the rest of your life. That's the way God made it.
Amen.
You know, God made you in His image. You know, that Omega Man, He made you in His image. We are the image of God. And so if we defile this image of God, we're defiling God and His purpose. And that's not right in any way, shape, or form. We need to turn back to the Word. And you Christians out there that are proclaiming to be Christians, you ones that say, well, we're not supposed to judge, we're not supposed to do this, Ezekiel 33:6 says that we need to warn the wicked man of his way if we want to deliver our soul. Because if we don't warn the wicked man of his way and he dies in his iniquity, then we will be responsible for his blood. You need to stand up and be about the Father's business. And if you don't, if you want to know what the Father's business is, go to Matthew 25 and search around a little bit. You'll find a set of scriptures that tells us that we're supposed to visit the poor, or feed the poor, visit people in prison and in hospitals. We are supposed to love our neighbors. And the sheep and the goats, which will you be, a sheep or a goat? Okay, I'm done ranting.
Brother and sister, that is the truth. We're not doing God any service if we think that serving the Lord is 45 minutes of Hillsong music and a feel-good message. Folks, we don't need to go by our emotions. We need to go by the Word of God. And if you want to know what the word says, it says there will be signs that follow them that believe. Number one listed, in my name they shall cast out devils. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. They will speak in new tongues. They drink any deadly poison that will not harm them. Folks, we better have some fruit. And we better use this time wisely because it's not going to go on forever. You know, Brother Dan and Sister Linda, I agree. I've always wondered why Israel was allowed to be attacked and even Jerusalem overrun. And at that point in time, there's a warning. If you're in that area of Judea, you know, flee to Petra. Don't go back for your cloak.
Right.
How did that happen? I said, you know, one of two things happened. Either America turned on Israel, sadly, like Obama did in his last months in office, or we have been taken out. We've been decapitated. And I do believe that the prophecies that Dimitri Dudeman shared, the vision for America, is going to happen, and that involves all of that. That involves nuclear strikes. That involves Red Dawn invasion. California burns. Las Vegas burns. Florida burns. New York burns. Other prophets have seen it. Dr. Hansen, Henry Groover, David Wilkerson saw New York burning. It's coming. I just hope not anytime soon, because that's going to be a terrible day. It says the merchants, they're far offshore. They're weeping because there's no one to buy their goods anymore. They can't dock up there and unload either in Florida or California. The barges from China were toast at that point. I hope it's not anytime soon, because if the enemy has his way, it'll be over. Yes.
Let me ask you a question. You pray that it's not anytime soon.
Yes.
You know, and like a lot of people do. And, you know, I don't want to see disaster. But, you know, let's go with this. If you read the Bible, you find out that these things have to happen. And these things have to happen to bring on the return of Yeshua. So every time that you pray for these things not to happen yet, then you're praying for Yeshua to be stalled. So is that really what you want? At some point, we're going to have to go through this. And this is a thought for the people.
True.
What we are required, here's what you are required to pray, my brother. This is what we should all be praying. And Stan Johnson pointed out to me many years ago, and yet he prays the same thing. Well, I hope it don't happen yet. But he did tell me this. He said, it's like this. He says, I pray that we are found worthy to endure all these things. I pray that's what the word says. It says, pray that you are found worthy to escape these things that are coming. That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to be righteous in front of the Father so that we'd be like Ashak, Meshach, and Abednego in a fiery furnace, and Daniel in the lion's den, where the mouth of the lions was shut, and they were saved in the fiery furnace right there in the midst of the fire. And if you say you believe in Dimitri Dudeman, he asked the angel Gabriel, he said, what about the church? He said, well, the angel says the church has left us. But I will say there's an army prepared to take care of the real believers,
Yes.
So to be a real believer, you got to be about the Father's work and doing what He says, what the Word says, and not because it's politically incorrect or correct to have sex out of marriage, or it's not politically, you're being politically correct because you're hanging out with the gay dude, you know, or do this, whatever.
Oh, my friend.
Yeah, those are my friend. If they're your friend, you better be witnessing to them, but you shouldn't be associating with them. There's a difference. If folks out there and you're hanging out and you got a gay friend, then you better get rid of them because it's an abomination. And that's a fact. I don't care how nice the person seems. You need to witness to them and get away from them because light and darkness has no business together.
And you have no business.
But the Word of God says that.
And by pointing out that it's an abomination, it is not judging them. It's doing what the Lord told you to do. You need to tell them that it's a sin and they need to turn away from it and turn to God. Because it is an abomination, and you're actually not the one that said it. God did. You're
Amen.
Just passing the word on.
What would a true friend do? Would a true friend say, oh, it's okay, continue in your sin, and then that person dies in their sin, and from hell they scream out, why didn't you warn me? Who's the better friend? One that would tell them the truth in love, you know? And you have no business going to their wedding either. I'm just saying.
Let's go with this. All these Christian preachers, all the gospel is just about love. Love is like this. If you love that person, then you would love them enough to want to see them in eternity.
Amen.
Not in an eternal hell fire. So you don't really love them if you appease their earthly behavior, which is just a testing ground for the final act.
Well said.
And folks, that final act is coming fast. Yeah, hey, so what, we got about 15 minutes left. I'd like to talk about
the church. Before you do that, I want to close this one point by saying I agree with what you said, well taken, that we need to prepare to go through the fire. And you know what? God can preserve us just as he did Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, as he did Daniel in the lion's den. We don't have to fear what's coming if we're in Jesus. We just need to fear the Lord and standing before him, not having done what he told us to do. In fact, the cowards will not enter into the kingdom of God. So you don't want to be fearful of anything but the Lord and falling short. I don't want to fall short. It's kind of a double-edged sword. On one hand, Jesus said, Lord, thy kingdom come. We need to pray that his kingdom come, thy will be done. At the same time, I know that if these things happen tomorrow, or if they'd already happened, billions would have probably went into hell. I thank God in his mercy he's allowed us to have President Trump. There's still some things got to be done, and it's buying us a little bit more time, but it's not going to last forever. I'm not under that illusion. At some point in time, it's got to happen. And you're right. It's inevitable. We just need to prepare to go through tough times and endure till the end and not quit or curse God and die because we were not prepared, because we were told we were going to escape it all and no suffering in Christ, no tribulation, no martyrdom. Folks, we might all be martyred before it's over with. Only the Lord knows. I hope I'm alive and remaining to see Jesus at the last trump. But if we go out before that time, are you prepared to go all the way for Christ and endure, not turn back like Lot's wife, not curse God and die like Job could have done, not to renounce Christ to save your head? No, we need to be ready to die with our boots on and be found working when Christ returns, whenever he comes back. And I take this extra time so we can bring in some more souls. But eventually, all time's going to run out. And if we don't get started today, when are we going to get started? If we take now for granted, why should the Lord give us any extra time? We squandered what he already gave us. Why should he give us any more? I wouldn't. So we need to be ready to meet Jesus at all time. We need to be occupying till he comes. And, you know, I will be glad when we get through all this because we've got some tough days ahead. That being said, that's what the Prophecy Hour is about, Omega Man Radio is about. You know, trying to train and equip people to bear some fruit and endure till the end. Now, switching gears, people still got to work. You still got to eat, put food on the table. There's a lot of people right now out of work. Some people have no table. In fact, you got a sleeping bag you're going to be giving out to somebody because their bed is under a bridge or where they can find it.
And guess what? That sleeping bag has someone waiting on it to get here.
Yeah. Okay. a couple of clarifications. Okay. But let me say this last thing to folks. And the other thing you have to remember is it isn't even just completely about Yeshua's return. We live in a fragile body. You could die in an accident. You could die of cancer or anything else. And you need to be ready before your own death. And that could come tonight, tomorrow, or whenever, or the next second from now. So you need to make sure that you're right at all times. Having said that, now then, we talk about the Mission Church.
Yes.
And Omega Man brought up a sleeping bag. Now, he just sent a sleeping bag that's a zero weather bag. Now, that's a great bag.
He's probably in his early 20s that has been asking for, he's been actually waiting for a sleeping bag to come in for at least the last 2 weeks because he sleeps outside.
Sister Linda,
he does.
Did I hear you correctly? There's people out there with no bed or pillow to lay their head on. They're sleeping on the ground?
Yes, that's correct.
Folks?
And a big problem they have is people, and I've been told this over and over, they have to hide to sleep because people come up in the night and beat them and take everything they have and leave them for dead.
Wow.
Yeah. And so they have to hide. They have to literally find somewhere to hide to sleep. And so that's why they don't like to be out after dark, is because they want to get in, get hid. That you'd be surprised at some of the places these people are sleeping.
Right. And they will try to sleep sometimes. You know, they'll have camps of them and they'll get together. But then you have people that think it's neat and they'll raid the camps. They'll come in and beat them up, you know, even
well, you
in
might,
the camp.
If you live in Wichita or any, if you live anywhere, you might come out in your backyard and find someone sleeping in your backyard, especially if you have a privacy fence. Well, I came out the back door of the church last week. I don't remember which day it was, but I taken out the trash and the sun just went down and so I seen a young man jump the fence. And he was jumping the fence of the privacy fence so he could sleep back there because he'd be safe in that neighborhood.
Yeah.
Directly behind us, that little area. Yeah, he was jumping the fence, and it's one of our regulars. I won't point him out. He seen me. I seen him. I said, go ahead. See you later. Have a good night.
Right. And I just don't verbally tell them that it's okay to sleep back there, although I have for a couple because.
Not in our fence, in the house behind us.
Right, right. But my point is that, you know, there's bad seeds that abused it before. But the point is, yeah, you got, it's very dangerous outside. And this young man, which that she's talking about, that's waiting on this bag when I'm praying he'll be there Friday. And, you know, he helps out in the kitchen sometimes and he's a real good helper. And he's an artist. He's a fantastic artist and he gets pencils and stuff wherever he can. And, you know, I've been praying to get an extra $20, well, actually $40. To get him a really nice pad and some pens. You know, if you have some artist pens and you want to bless somebody with it, we got somebody that needs them.
And he's real excited about getting that stuff too, because he said his first things he's going to do is some artwork for some of your radio programs and stuff for your podcast.
Yeah, he said that he would do. We talked about it, and I said I'd like to have some original pictures for my programs. And he agreed to do it, and he's now actually waiting on, you know.
Oh, yeah, he's
some
worked
pens.
Up about it.
But
and he got so worked up about it, he asked if he could leave his, what he had started in the kids' room at church so nobody would steal it at night while he was asleep.
Right, and he got a padlock and put on his bag so that
nobody would steal it. I said, that's kind of silly. They can just cut that bag right open. He said, yeah, I know, but
it
makes me feel better. I said, I see the point.
Slow him down. And so he's a really fantastic artist. I priced a set of pens, and the pens were like $20 for the cheapest set that I could see at Hobby Lobby. And a pad is another $20, so you're talking $40. But you know, $20 to get him started with some pens, and he'll do artwork that we can use for the radio programs. But you know, a lot of these people, you know, so the Wichita Mission Church folks is, you know, the Father kept me up all night and blessed us to do this. This is what we were called to do. In fact, we lost a congregation, didn't we, when we first started?
Yes, we did.
Yeah, we lost about 25 people at least when we first did. And over the years, you know, it's people say, well, it's so Messiah's Branch is like a home church with a building, because it's mostly family and close people that come to the actual church meetings. Now, when we were over on Maple Street, we've moved it, been in this place for 12 years. Wait a minute.
2007 is when we moved in it.
Okay, 2007 is when we moved in this place. But the other place, they were in it all the time on Friday night, you know.
Oh, yeah, they'd come to church back then when we had
right, but they don't come to church much anymore because of the fact that after dark then, because they even told me, they said, Pastor Dan, you know where you're moving to? And I told them, yeah, I know where I'm moving to. And they said, well, it's really bad over there. I don't know if you're going to be safe. I said, well, it's where the Father put us and called us to be at. To witness to everybody. I mean, you know, we're right in the midst of one of
the. And right in the next block, right next to the mission, there's been a murder, and then two blocks down, there's a murder, and then two blocks the other way, there was a child killed. Yeah, it's a real bad
neighborhood. The kids get stats right off the street out in front of the place and around it, and there's prostitutes and drug addicts right out on the street. We're right in the midst of it. But that's what we're supposed to be. We still bear witness. You know, what do? We give them food, we give them clothing. We give them first aid. We give them miracle prayers. Just like the neighbor the other day, I hadn't seen him in a while. He dropped in. He said, hey, Pastor Dan, I ain't been to church lately. He said, I need just to get a prayer. I said, something specific. He says, no, I just need one of your prayers. And so we pray for the Father to bless him, anointing with oil and pray for the Father to bless him. This goes on all the time. People come in just looking for prayers, people that I've known for years, people that just heard they could come in and get a good prayer. We'll come in for that. Bibles, we, you know, what is better than giving out the Word of God? You know, we give out,
amen,
if we have them on hand, we can give out a case of Bibles easy a month or more, depending on who comes in. And so we are giving the Word out. And they get personal counseling, you know, and when they're ready to make that jump from being, you know, in a corrupt situation they may be at or something, they ask for that miracle prayer, and the Father changes their life, then you want them to not be around. You don't want to make a congregation out of these people. You want to get them out of the terrible place that we're at and into a church, into around godly people. We are an outpost, a place of safety for people. They come in and they can be safe. They can get food. They can get counseling. They can get first aid. They can use a telephone call anywhere in the United States for free. They can get shoes. There's so many different things that they can get that's what we're there for. And we do, and people are prayed and they turn to Messiah. But then they become success stories. I run into them out in the street. I run into them at Walmart or like at Home Depot. The manager come up and, you know, tap me on the shoulder. And I said, yeah. And I thought, well, what'd I do? And he said, don't you remember me? And he said, yeah, I don't remember you, but what? And he said, well, you're Pastor Dan. I said, yeah. He said, I was drunk on the sidewalk and you picked me up off the sidewalk and put me in your van, and you took me to your mission church, and you sobered me up, you witnessed to me, and you prayed with me, and it changed my life, and now I'm the manager here at Home Depot. I had the same story coming out of people at other places. Dylan's for one of them. A manager did the same thing. And people come up to me, and I could hardly go to Walmart or Sam's and places like that. People run up to me in the parking lot, hey, Pastor Danny, give me a hug, and
yes,
say, thank you. Well, for what? Well, for that prayer that you gave me, it changed everything. And so that's what we do.
And I had a woman come in and said, don't you remember me? I'm like, not really. She said, you helped me about 5 years ago. And I'm like, okay. And I was like, I can't remember everybody. You know, probably a million people have been through that church.
Yeah. Well, and it's like this, you know, people ask me, say, you know, the other day a guy asked me, he said, well, you know, 'cause I sent out a mission update and I said, and that's a thing that people get on to see if they, sometimes I write stories about the people when I have time, but mostly it's about, you know, okay, we need something. And so we put it out there and somebody sees it and they fulfill the need. Well, a guy said, well, I don't have any money today. He said, but you know, I haven't heard a story lately or anything. And I said, well, you know, he wanted to know if there was any special, people had been blessed or anything specially or whatever, but that's commonplace. I don't call anything so the Father common, but I mean, it's common for prayers every day. It's a miracle they get. Go ahead.
Well, back to the woman, I wasn't really finished that. Yeah,
was.
But the reason why she came in, she just came in to let us know that she'd got a job, she had a home, she wasn't no longer homeless. And we helped her to do that. And it's been 5 years.
Yeah, amen.
And we hear that people do that all the time.
Right, and you bring people up. And the reason they come to us for prayers is because like this, you know, we're different. Imagine that. We're the same people no matter where we're at.
If you don't believe me, come check us out. You'll see we are different.
Yeah.
Brother and Sister Catlin, what day is the...
We're trying to get supporters, not run them off.
What days is the mission open?
We're open on Tuesdays and Fridays, and right now we have no help. All of our volunteers went back to school. So that was our children. So right now we're needing help. We need help. We open at one on Tuesdays and one on Fridays, and we're there until we're done.
Okay,
yeah,
now,
amen.
That's a good place to ask a question. You open up Tuesdays and Fridays at 1. Will there be people waiting there before you open the doors and through the course of the day and evening?
Yes,
how many
they're
people?
There, they get there early in the morning. You can get there at 11 o'clock and still have 5, 6, 7 people sitting out front waiting for you to get
back
there.
How many people do you
Yeah, they get there early and wait.
How many people will come through there on a particular day? of ministry?
Well, we don't count people. We count eggs and we count plates. And on a regular day, we do anywhere from 7.5 to 13, sometimes 15 dozen eggs.
Wow.
And those people, those are served from 1 to 3. So those people eat as many egg sandwiches as they want. They come and go. There's no real way to count the people. So you can count the sandwiches and estimate how many people.
Yes.
And then at 4:30, we serve dinner. And we do, on a normal day, we do 40 plates. But if we're busy and towards the end of the month, we could do as many as 70.
Wow, yeah, that's a lot of people.
And that's on top of everything else we serve. We get 12 dozen donuts every Tuesday and Friday that we get donated for desserts, so I no longer have to make desserts. But we usually have leftovers that we feed, maybe 4 dozen that we feed as soon as we get there with coffee. But sometimes we even have fruit that we feed them.
Wait a minute. You're still, either way you go, you're doing 12 dozen eggs or 12 dozen donuts a day, because you give out half of them one day and save the other half the other day, but then the half are fresh ones, so you're still doing 12 dozen.
Yeah, we're still doing 12. We get 12 dozen every Tuesday and 12 dozen every Friday, and there ain't one that, well, I won't say one that get wasted. Sometimes they get dropped on the floor or something, but they get eaten.
Yeah, and sometimes the grandkids.
And that ain't even counting everything. Any kind of donation that comes in, if I serve it out there, they will eat it. I mean, they eat fruit, bread. There's tons of food goes through that place. You would be amazed. If you just come down there and sit one day, you'd be amazed at all the food and things that go through there. And people that go through that little building.
You don't have picky eaters. You've got people that are hungry. And folks, some may take refuge for the night in a shelter. Others are making their own shelter wherever they can find it. And so in addition to the money it costs to buy food to feed the people, you need other things, right? Bibles, sleeping bags. What are some of the things that people might want to look at donating? Now, cash is always best. The brother and sister Catlin know where to get the bills.
Now we need to stock. We need plastic forks and spoons and salt and pepper and sugar and plates and go plates and cups and all that. Napkins.
Paper products.
That. But hygiene products we have covered. We have a regular donation
tell you about
for that. But yeah.
Real quick, that people, a couple other little, what I consider miracles in the first place, that number one, it's a miracle that we even get there, because we live 60 miles from the place. I drive a truck that it's a F-150, 1997, with 335,000 miles on it, back and forth. My wife drives a truck. In fact, hers had an overheating problem, and my son's rebuilding it. Prayerfully, that'll be done this week. And it's a used truck. Now, we also have a bus. Now, some of these people can barely walk, and so I give them a ride back and forth across town. And the people call it Chitty Chitty Bang Bang because it has a they do. They call it Chitty Chitty Bang Bang because it's got a loud exhaust leak, and it's an old 1992 Ford bus that, you know, they took a E350 and they make a bus out of it.
It's one of those disability vans you see going around that has it even has the wheelchair lift on it and everything.
Yeah, it holds eight people.
It's just right under you. If it's over 12, you have to have a CDL, but this one had only 8, so you don't have to have a CDL.
Right, but they can put all their backpacks and everything in it. It's plenty of room, but they call it Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
I didn't know
and
that.
I've got two tires in the back that I didn't take back to the Mexican place so they can put them on, and I had the extra $20 to get them mounted, so I don't really have a spare. I got them in the back, but they're not on the rim. But that's you understand what I'm telling you? That's a miracle. This thing doesn't have air conditioning. It needs a window that I got boarded up right now, and it doesn't. The heater barely works, but they gladly and lovingly accept a ride from Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, and that's a miracle. That is a miracle that thing's on the road, you know. And let me tell you, it's a miracle. We make 100. We would do more there, but the Father has us here in Florence because he has other work for us to do, and that's radio, and that supports the mission. And believe me, when we first started,
and it's
we
not
can,
safe in Wichita anyway, and we
safe.
Have too many kids to be in Wichita. You can force me. I won't say that, but
anyway,
I don't want to move back to Wichita.
We're talking a 120-mile round trip just to go serve the Father, you know, and we did that faithfully. You know, people freak out when they find out how many times we did it. I go, well, how long have you been doing this? Well, you know, well, we're in our 20th year. This is, well, our 19th year. It'll be 20 years.
So we started 20th year June 13th.
Right.
Or the first
amazing.
Of June. First June 13th is when we moved in the building. June 1st, 2000 is when we started feeding.
Right.
Wow.
Right. So we've been doing this 20 years, you know, and I'm ready to do another 20 years, whatever it takes, because this is what the Father called me to do.
As long as I can go, I'm going.
He called me to feed. He called me to do first aid. He called me to give prayers. He called me to give out Bibles. He called us to, when I say me though, me means me and my wife, because I'm not complete without her. So I couldn't do any of it without her.
Just like Tuesday, he said, next Tuesday we're going to be closed. And I said, why are you going to close? And he said, because it's your birthday. And I said, I ain't closing. I'm coming right down here and feeding these people. And he goes, if that's what you want to do for your birthday. I said, guess what? I'm making birthday cake, and the Lord's going to give me money for ice cream. And anybody comes through that door is going to have my birthday with me.
Wow.
On my birthday.
Cake and ice cream. Yeah, amen. Well, you know, that's something else we're praying in.
That's beautiful. Folks, we're live with the ProphecyHour.com, ProphecyHour.com, drop the D, Pastor Dan and Linda Catlin, and they're talking about the mission that God had them start over 20 years ago. You know, y'all been faithful for a long time. I began to hear about your program for the first time back in 2003, and I've been following y'all for a long time. Y'all are the real deal. You help many people, and folks, they haven't quit. They are doing their job faithfully. It says, as you feed the poor, or you visit someone in the hospital, or you visit the sick, you know, those in jail, rather, you've done this unto Jesus. When you do it unto these people out there that are going through tough times right now. And you know what? Before it's over with, we all may be going through some tougher times. And you know, as you remember the poor, it says, and you lend to the poor, you've lent to God, God says, I will repay. So, in addition to giving financially, and Brother Dan, Sister Linda will put that where the need is, they have needs. You know, it costs fuel during the winter to keep the place warm, electric bill. There's internet radio, which is not free. It takes resources to do. The food. But also, you know, people come in there and they need a sleeping bag or a blanket or some clothes. Do you have like a room where, as donations come in, people can come in and get clothes as they need it, or shoes, things like that?
Yes, sir, we sure do. Donation room, anything that's in there is free for the taking. And right now we need men's clothing.
Yeah, men's clothing. We get a lot of women's clothing, and I think, and my only guess at that is that I just think that men don't, you know, we wear our clothes until the rags hanging off of us, you know. anyway, but we don't get a lot of men's clothing, but we do really need men's clothing.
And it don't matter what we get. Everything I put in that room goes out of that room. Everything. It doesn't matter. I had a friend just pass away, and they brought me all the stuff. She had two storage buildings and a shed, and her house full of stuff like candles, you know, everything you can think of. It was just like secondhand store. And everything I put in there goes the same day I put it in there. I can stock that
pretty
thing
much.
Where you can't hardly see in there, and before we leave, it's almost empty.
Yeah,
wow.
And the biggest thing, and we don't ask them anything. In fact, they ask us, you got a plastic bag. You know, we use those Walmart sacks.
And we could use those, too. If anybody has a bunch of those sitting around, drop them by the mission, because I can't keep those plastic bags. I've been having to buy them.
Yeah, amen. And recently, we do give out hygiene stuff, but we've recently been blessed with a ministry that gives out hygiene stuff, but it's not really, it's an agency. And, I don't even know how they found me. I guess they seen the WichitaHomeless.com thing and contacted me and signed up for it. So
it's
we
been
do
a
give
real
out
blessing.
Hygiene.
This month they didn't have any toilet paper, so we aren't able to give that out this month, but.
Shampoo, yeah, cream rinse.
Everything.
You know.
Whatever they have, we give them out.
Yeah, amen, amen.
Now, I wanted to tell people about something I found on Amazon, and I told Brother Dan tonight, we've got to do a test on it and see if it works. But we sent in just one sleeping bag as a test, because I know you said you needed cold weather. And I want y'all to get me some feedback from this guy who's going to try it out. What I found, folks, out there is called the Winzel Windy Pass. It's 0 degree mummy sleeping bag. It says zero temperature rating, and it's oversized. So it's 33 inches wide, 84 inches long, because you got some 6-foot people in there, right? And
Yeah. I've got one guy, that big, tall, black man.
He wears a size 15, 16 shoe. You can tell me how big he is.
I'm always joking with him, but this guy's a head taller than me.
Yeah.
Wow.
I said, where
do you get your shoes? And he says, they're very hard to find. I got to get them custom made.
Yeah, and he always laughing. He's funny, and always picking on him about, I'm telling him he needs to grow down.
He has to bend over to go through the door.
Now, that's tall. I'll trade him.
He's tall.
Yeah. You ain't kidding me.
I think he told me he's seven foot.
Well, you know what?
He's really tall. 6'9", 7 foot. I don't remember.
He might fit in this one. This is 7 foot, 33 inches wide. I want y'all to test it out and see if it's quality, because I don't know. I just saw the picture. But if it works, I found these on Amazon for $39, and Amazon Prime will ship them for free if you got that account. We're going to find out and get you some feedback. If so, I encourage everybody out there, donate sleeping bags, cold weather shoes, clothes, blankets. Sending cash is always a good thing. Do you all have a PayPal address over at your website?
Yeah.
Yes, sir, we sure do. Everything's there at prophecyhour.com.
Yeah, everything's at prophecyhour.com. You can donate online over the phone, or if you go to prophecyhour.com, there's a thing right at the top that says you can donate right here, and you can't miss that letter. It's at prophecyhour.com. If not, there's a lion right there, and you click on it, and it takes a donation. And if you scroll down the side, there's a couple other places that there's a PayPal thing that you click it, and PayPal works great. It comes to us. The great thing about it is it comes instantly, and then we can use it. And so, amen. And you know, this place is a miracle. It's all by faith. We're not independently wealthy. And like I said, you know, it ain't like we got a church with 200 or 300 people we get 10% from a month. Messiah's Branch is like a home church with a building. And the building is because we take care of the people. And so, you know, that's what we do. And so pray about it, folks. We want you to pray about it. Amen,
now,
right?
Let me ask you another question. How are those large print King James Bibles working? What kind of
those
quality
are
they?
They love them. They went slow at first, but then it was like they got discovered, and I put them up there. They're going. I'm going to open that new case Friday and put some more up there.
Okay.
I was going to say, I wondered what was in that box. Another case of Bible.
Yeah, he said
that other case is already gone.
Let me tell you about
there's
this.
One left in the window, but I also give it out adjacent with it. Though I had a few of those little black Bibles, and they took the last of them up there. But they took all of those large, they're extra large print, that Omega Man.
So just to give you an idea, that's two cases in less than a month, and we're there 8 days a month. So
now, I asked that question because, folks, I found these on Amazon. I paid $5.09 for a brand-new King James large print Bible, and you could order, 12 of them or 100 of them. That's a good deal. Imagine giving a Bible to someone who doesn't have one, folks. Send them a sleeping bag, a blanket, a pair of nice shoes, something that you would use, they need. And you can do this in addition to being a regular supporter. I encourage everybody to support financially prophecyhour.com. Give on the PayPal. They'll apply it where it needs it. And then in above and beyond your giving, if you want to give some tangible items like that, you can find some good deals on Amazon. Now, here's the deal. Brother and Sister Catlin, if someone wanted to send you some of these things we're talking about, how would they go about doing that? How do they contact you to get the mailing address?
Okay, you can donate online, over the phone, or by mailing a check or money order, and you can find all that information at prophecyhour.com. And over there in that little alien, the thing they click on to get the address to mail a package, do not mail anything to the Wichita Mission Church. There's not any way for us to get it there because we're only there 2 days a week, and there's only a mail drop. And we really right now don't have time to go to the post office and pick anything up. So if you contact Pastor Dan on his cell phone, send him a text and tell him you're going to call because of the robocalls. His cell phone is 316-619-4886, 316-619-4886, or call the house, which you could probably still get through somewhere, or shoot him an email, and all that information is at prophecyhour.com.
Right, and if you think you can remember an email address, I know I hate it when people give out email addresses over the radio. I go, what did they say? But it is, you can do pastor at messiahsbranch.org. Pastor@messiahsbranch.org. Pastor@messiahsbranch.org. But if you go to prophecyhour.com, all that information is there. And remember, folks, if you don't wish to help with the poor, consider a donation for radio airtime. It's not free. And, you know, your donations keep us on the air. Go over and check out radio. There's archives, everything. You can find some of these great interviews that we do. And it's ongoing. I'm going to hope to surprise you folks with the quality of the people that I listen or that we talk to this year. Back to you.
I just thought of something. Have you ever handed out cans of tuna?
Oh, yeah.
Well, people take tuna. I mean, let me ask you this question. People living on the street. There's a lot of people across America, thousands. Pretty much everything they own, they carry with them. So what will they typically, will you see them come in with a knapsack, backpack, duffel bag? What do people use to carry around their items?
Walmart bags.
Unless they can,
when they don't get their backpacks stolen, they'd like to have backpacks, but every time they get one, they get stolen.
Well,
so.
Not every time. Some people are smarter than others, and there are some thieves out there that'll steal their backpacks. But the number one way is backpacks or any kind of canvas bag, a duffel bag, anything like that. Now, see, there's something else that you can donate. Is those
bags. We can't keep any kind of bags.
Any
I can put bags in the room, and as soon as I put them in there,
they're gone. A bowling bag, they'll use to carry stuff around.
Purses,
so,
I've put boxes of purses in there. They take the purses.
That's amazing. What about if you got a sleeping bag? Don't you need a compression sack so you can stuff it all back in, or do they just roll them up and tie them with two pieces of rope? What do you do?
I'm assuming that they roll them up
if,
and stash them.
If the bag comes with a bag, you know what I'm saying, they'll use that. But most of the times they'll roll them up and they'll tie it around each one. Or actually, they don't usually carry their bags around.
No, they hide them.
You get the point?
Okay.
They'll find out a campsite and a place they have and they stash it.
Okay.
And if they are carrying it, then it is, or, you know, it's, or some of these people, like a couple of guys got bicycles with trailers on it, and a couple of guys, and once in a while you'll see people come with, the grocery cart.
Wow.
There's that.
I've seen them just packed overflowing on grocery carts, pushing them down the street.
This is something that, for people that haven't heard about us before, but let's remember this. Well, we're talking about the homeless, and you're talking about people camping outside. We are also in a bad neighborhood, but we help everybody. We don't ask them when they walk in the door if they're homeless. I know some people, the people that live right across the street in the motels and stuff a few weeks of the month or whatever, we help people that come in that aren't homeless, that are poor. They're barely keeping a roof over their head. They can't afford food. They can't afford hygiene. They can't afford the other items, but they are keeping a roof, and they're trying to work themselves out of the place that they're at. And so we help the homeless and poor. Of course, the homeless are poor, the poor being the people I just described. So we help everybody. We don't ask who you are, what you're doing. They offer that to us.
Back to the tuna. And that kind of stuff, if we do have it, it doesn't last long. People ask for peanut butter, bread, and tuna. Stuff that they can take to their campsite and not have to worry about.
If I had a choice right now between a can of tuna and a jar of peanut butter, I would pick a jar of peanut butter because it lasts longer, it's great protein, and I get a lot of ask for all the time.
And you can reseal it.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
So
I was thinking about
a case
protein.
Of peanut butter, that'd be great too. Give it out the same
And they
way
can
I
even
do.
Eat it with a spoon or their finger. They don't have to have anything to put peanut butter
and
on.
And they can
just
close it back up, just like you said. And
I can't keep peanut butter. It goes as fast as I
can. We gave away almost about a half a truckload of bread the other day. And boy, if we could have gave peanut butter, Tuesday, if we could have gave peanut butter with it, man, that would have been really downtown.
Yeah.
And of course, we are downtown. You know.
What would be great is if you had a piece of land large enough to put one of these, the military barrack old style, or they use for a hangar?
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Something big enough to house people overnight, of course, in the morning. You know, people go their way and then they can come back at night. But there's literally people searching for a place to sleep. It would be nice if you had a place that you could bring them all in. You could have 100 people now.
We would do that.
You know, we would do that. We've tried that before with a woman's shelter, and because we live so far away, we couldn't get funding, and everything just didn't fall in place.
Right, and here's the point. You said the key word, funding. Well, we got the donation of the building. We didn't have funding to be able to take care of the place, to pay the bills, and to have somebody there. If we had the finances, I would in a heartbeat. In fact, we have a plan that I drew up from ideas from my wife and I that we acquired over the years to build a place or a place like you said. It's all in the Father's timing. If somebody gives us, and the homeless ask me that all the time, Pastor Dan, if we won a lottery, we gave you money, what would you do? And we tell them the same. We would continue to do the work. If I got rich tomorrow, I continue to do the work. I just take care of them better.
Right.
You understand? And we do know their needs better than the people, all these agencies think, because we are with the people. They call us mom and dad, you know? And so, yes, we would, but we don't have that kind of funding. It's a miracle. You're talking about out of faith. What kind of person in the middle of winter gets up, gets in their truck, and drives to Wichita 60 miles away? That may not even have at that point, I got a quarter tank of gas by the time I get there, maybe not enough to get home, and I don't have enough money to put gas in the tank, but a go anyway, and the Father has never failed either one of us from going over and feeding and taking care of the people and feeding them and coming back and taking care of their other needs. Now, remember, these people are poor. They don't want a trip to the emergency room. We give over-the-counter medications in the wintertime, cough medicine, pain medicine, allergy medicine, those kind of things, of course, go out with prayer. And we also, people come in beat up and bloody, and I bandage them and put them back together.
You say we go without gas. I can't count the times I've went with nothing to feed, no eggs to make sandwiches, no nothing for dinner. And when I get there, someone's there with a donation that takes care of the day.
Yeah, amen.
Wow.
Amen. Amen. So this is all about faith. And that's what faith is, folks. Faith is an action word. If you believe by faith, get up off the couch and do something with your faith. Don't just sit there, because we are required to do our part. He fills in when he sees us doing our part. When we can do no more, there he is.
He will never fail you, but you can very well fail yourself.
Yeah. Very good. Very good.
What a great broadcast here with prophecyhour.com. Before we wrap it up, I want to encourage you folks out there once again to get over and be part of this ministry, prophecyhour.com. And tune in tomorrow.
I just want to say one more thing real quick.
Yes,
I got something to say. No matter how rich, no matter how poor, or no matter how in between, we all are homeless looking for our way and finding our way home.
Our way home, which is through the Father.
You got that right.
That's the truth.
Yeah, that's the real truth. Figured she'd say it.
We're all in transition.
I got it off of a movie.
You got it off a movie. You didn't have to spoil it.
It was about a homeless mission, though.
We were sitting here thinking, boy, she's just really an, oh, I got it off
well,
a movie.
Well, I can't take credit for something that ain't mine. I'm just passing it on because I believe in it.
Okay, amen. But you're right.
Praise the Lord, everybody. What time are you going to be doing your broadcast tomorrow? You're going to have a special guest talking about Mount Sinai.
Yeah, that'll be at 7 p.m. Central. And we do I'm also doing a broadcast with Derek Gilbert, which is another big offer. I don't know if you've ever heard of Skywatch International.
Sure.
Defenders Publishing. They publish a lot of books. And you have people like Tom Horn over there and everything, and this is Derek Gilbert, one of his people, and at 5 o'clock I'm going to interview him over his new book about some really surprising things about what I'm going to call it Satan's Hidden Identity. That's not the name of the book, but that's what I'm going to call the name of the program, and I'll be doing that one at 5 p.m. Central unless I put it off till the next week, but I'm pretty sure I'm going to do it tomorrow.
That's going to be a great broadcast. Can they tune in live, or is it put up and they listen to the archive after the fact? How does that work?
Well, if you go to prophecyhour.com, there's a link that says listen. You go to it. It's basically you go to American Voice Radio, and it'll take you to American Voice Radio, and you can listen to it live at that point. Also, there's a American Voice Radio broadcast it live on YouTube at that same time. And if you have a C-band satellite, it's also on C-band satellite. and that's national over the United States, and it's in, I think, two FM stations in Eagle Point, Oregon. And so, yeah, you can listen live, and, but we archive those programs later on, you know, about 9 o'clock at night.
And they're
like
on
that.
The podcast, yeah.
And they're on the
so
podcast.
So if you don't have time to catch it out live, you can get it.
Well,
live.
And most people nowadays, they don't, you know, not as many people listen to live broadcasts. They listen to when they want to hear it. You know what I mean? And that's the younger generation. Now, I've got some older people that, older, I'm older myself. I'm
you
64.
Can't
anyway,
on your telephone.
That like to listen to it live. And they want to know, you know, when they can listen live.
How about some people listen on their phone?
Most people, over 50% that listen to the podcast, listen to it
on
their cell phone. Yeah,
you
that's where we're at. They don't sit in front of the computer. They download it on their cell phone and boom. And Podomatic, which is where the archives are at, actually has an app that they can download so they can listen to it. You know,
cool.
But if you just click on it on your cell phone, it comes up really cool and you can listen to it. Back to you.
I want to thank y'all for coming on, folks. I really enjoy this time with Pastor Dan and Linda Catlin of ProphecyHour.com. I was just looking at the schedule. We've got you booked already for September. We're going to see y'all, I believe, on the 11th and 25th. Does that sound good?
Yeah, that's – yeah, let me see. I think I already got it on here. Give me just
you gotta go
less than 30. I know that's what I'm doing.
There's well, while we're waiting on that, I pray you guys
September
all have a very nice Labor Day.
Oh, it's
September
Labor Day.
September 11th to September 25th, yeah.
Yes, 10 o'clock. Labor Day coming up?
Yep, it's actually going to be Tuesday, but this is Labor Day weekend.
Ah, I've lost touch.
Yep.
I got to reconnect.
Labor Day weekend, because we always have the parade and everything here, and there's a big weekend here in Florence, so, and it's always my birthday, and it's always chilly at night on my birthday,
well,
and I have all my grandkids
birthday,
there saying, what are we doing for your birthday, Grandma?
September
what are we doing
3rd.
For your birthday, Grandma? I said, my birthday is not till Tuesday. You'll be in school, and I'll be at the church. No fair! I said, but we're going to celebrate my birthday this weekend.
Yeah, and all the grandkids, it's all about Grandma, you know. It's just kind of, it makes you ill, really, you know.
Happy birthday to you. September 3rd, it will be your birthday. That's fantastic. And,
yep.
Shoot, September, it's going to be Thanksgiving before we know it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I started to put a plug for that, but I'll wait a little
bit.
That's a lot of work.
That is our biggest Thanksgiving is our biggest day of the year, and we have people come back that, you know, we've been doing it, like I say, we're in our 20th year. We have people that come back from 20 years ago. And
yeah, and the first year we fed is the first year we gave our Thanksgiving to the people, and and we did it with the people every year since 2000. So this will be our 20th Thanksgiving with them.
If you want a family Thanksgiving with us, you've got to come to the Mission Church.
This is fantastic.
But that's what the Word says. Now, let's get this straight. That's what the Word says. It says when you call a feast, call the lame, the poor, the blind, and so on and so forth, and that's who you beckon to your feast, the people that can't put it on for themselves. And so we're doing it under the Father. You see, here's the kicker.
Amen.
You know, it's like Yeshua says in Matthew 25, if I had the time, I'd read these 10 verses to you. But he said, whenever he says, for when I was 100 and you gave me meat and I was a stranger and you took me in, when you do it to the least of these, you did it unto me. And so that's how we serve him, is by serving others. End of story.
Hey, that's beautiful. That's how we serve him, by serving others. When Thanksgiving comes along, do you buy the turkeys already pre-cooked, or will you cook them? How does that work?
We cook them. Last year I cooked 7 by myself, and so, yeah, we cook them.
What is
we
a turkey?
Them. I try and get volunteers to cook them and debone them and bring them already ready to serve.
Yeah, and
last year we did have a few people. Well, I actually had 8 turkeys prepared for me, and I did 7 myself. So
what is a turkey?
And we do 2 days. We do Thursday and Friday.
Right.
What's the going price on a turkey right now in Kansas?
I
right now it's probably over $1 something a pound. I always wait because at Thanksgiving they always have a sale at right close. I usually wait till the last minute because I can get them for anywhere from 49 to 79 cents a pound. So,
in other words, if someone wanted to sponsor a turkey, what might cost him to buy a turkey?
$20 a turkey.
Yeah,
oh, really?
That's what we said last year.
That
worked out pretty good.
Say,
yeah.
Either way, $20 a turkey. But, we really don't want to start that yet.
Yeah, there's too many early. Other things that's going on right now that are need covered.
Right. I would rather. We
got Sukkot coming before Thanksgiving.
Okay, but let me say this. Right now, during the summertime is those months are really hard for us because in it, like a lot of ministries, donations go, they call it summer slump, donations go down in the summertime, not as many people are listening to radio, other people are out doing things and so on and so forth. Right now, we're just catching up on the bills and things from the summer slump. It is not time, I don't want people to divert a donation that they would donate, oh, okay, cool, I want to do Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving always gets funded. And by different people and by you, you've helped and a lot of other people and people you've talked to. But my point is this, right now we're trying to just get out of the summer. It's not time if we do it for Thanksgiving, that might be money that we need for right now because that's right now we need help.
Absolutely, folks. Don't wait till
Thanksgiving. With all this humidity and everything, the bills have really doubled. They're really like doubled what they usually are. So yeah, we're in real need of financial support right now.
I want to encourage everybody out there, become a regular supporter of Messiah's Branch. The prophecyhour.com is a website. At whatever level you can, give something every month consistently. And watch what God does because it's going to go right to the people. They give to the people every week that come in and you're giving to God and God will repay. I had the Lord tell me that as we were going into the crash in 2007-08. And I was feeling the crunch like anybody. I had an herbal business. And I began to have to think about downsizing. There's only four of us, but we were still going to have to downsize. And, it was like the Lord told me. He says, you're alive now because you gave to the poor. And he gave me that verse. He that lends to the Lord has lent. He that gives to the poor has lent to God, God will repay. And you know what? That bought me some more time. And then the crash came, and, God didn't abandon me. He just shifted gears with me. But the point is maybe you have been blessed right now so you can abound every good work, including giving to prophecyhour.com. And when you do, you know what? That's the best investment for hard times. It's not having your hard times mountain of freeze-dried foods. It's okay to have a little bit of preparations, but give to the poor and God will give it back to you when you need it. I really believe that because that's what the Word says. He who gives to the poor is lent to God, and God will repay. Brother Dan, Sister Linda, can God lie?
No.
Never.
Never?
No.
You can take that one to the bank, literally.
And that's what really drives me crazy right now. People act like the Bible isn't telling the truth. Well, he didn't get it right, or like you said, they didn't get it right about Israel. Really? That's what the Word says. It's the Word of God.
Amen.
Yeshua HaMashiach is the Word made flesh and dwelt among us. And he's talking about the Torah, the Bible. He's the Word made flesh. You're saying, if you say the Word's wrong, you're saying Yeshua is wrong and done away with. If you say the Old Testament's done away with, then you're saying Yeshua is done away with. Because in John, the first of John, it says, for the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Amen.
Amen. Brother, Sister, Catlin, we love and appreciate you. Do you want to close us in prayer tonight? Thank you for going late with me.
Okay. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, Father, I just pray that radio tonight has blessed everybody out there that's listening or that will listen, Father. I pray you gave us the right things to do, Father, because we don't want to shame you. We are just here to try to bless you. But Father, help us all bless others by serving, by blessing them that we bless you. And bless Omega Man for having us on, and just bless the folks, Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name. Thank you for allowing us to serve in Yeshua's name. Amen.
And amen. Shalom.
Amen. Shalom and happy birthday to you, Sister Linda. God bless y'all.
Thank you. Same.
All right.
Folks, that was prophecyhour.com. Now, again, there are urgent needs currently for the mission church there, prophecyhour.com. And I want to encourage everybody to give whatever you can, $5, $10, whatever. Hey, everybody gave $5. They can have all their needs met on a regular basis. In addition, though, and I'll say this now that we're off the air, be thinking about sponsoring one turkey. And now, I don't want you to send money here. What we're doing is we're raising this for Prophecy thewitchcallhour.com. Go to their website. But when the time comes, as we're getting moving closer to Thanksgiving, consider buying a turkey for the homeless. I plan to sponsor a few. Whatever I can, I'm going to do it. They're about $20 for a turkey. That's not bad. And what you would do is you just send the money when that time comes to over to their PayPal at prophecyhour.com or write them a check. You can find that details at their website. Again, don't send it to Mega Man. Send it to prophecyhour.com and sponsor one turkey. If you don't have $20 now, save it. $5 a week. When that time comes, they're going to need some turkeys. I'd like to see 100 turkeys going over there from the Omega Man Radio listener audience out there. Everybody could do it. We could all sponsor one turkey each, $20. Just be thinking about that. You know, that's a great feeling. I've been following their ministry since 2003.
The Encyclopedia Britannica reports that the traditional customs connected with Christmas have developed from several sources as a result of the coincidence of the celebration of the birth of Christ with the pagan agricultural and solar observations at midwinter. In the Roman world, the Saturnalia was a time of merrymaking and exchange of gifts. December 25th was also regarded as the birth date of the Iranian mystery god Mithra, the son of righteousness. Collier's Encyclopedia agrees by stating that, quote, after the triumph of Constantine, the church at Rome assigned December 25th as the date for the celebration of the feast, possibly about 320 A.D. or 353. The choice of December 25th was probably influenced by the fact that on this day, the Romans celebrated the Mithraic feast of the sun god Nautilus Salus Invicti. Both encyclopedias plainly reveal that the source of the celebration of December 25th is the birthday of Mithra, the pagan sun god. Sun worshippers since the time of Babel recognized this time of year in honor of their gods. First century believers, taught personally by Christ, did not celebrate his birth. Second century theologians condemned the thought. Only after severe persecution, destruction, and inaccessibility of Scripture, and the blending of pagan doctrine with the worship of God, was a Mithraic celebration of December 25th proclaimed to be Christian in nature. I'm Richard Reeves with Just the Facts. For more information, contact Partakers Publications, Post Office Box 23031, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28227, or visit our website at www.toolong.com.